Throughout the early childhood years, there are opportunities for every child's potential to blossom and for a lifelong love of learning to begin. Welcome to Lilio. Our solutions for center management, family engagement, teaching and learning, and professional development have impacted countless educators, children, and families. We stand as a symbol of quality and commitment to early childhood education, with the belief that early educators have the power to change children's lives and ultimately the world. Lilio, the building blocks for high-quality childcare. Learn more at www.lilio.com.
Hey everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate, though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week, I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Lemonada.
I'm Kiki Monique, and this is I'm Sorry, your favorite podcast about apologies. And this week, I think I can officially stop saying that I just moved to LA from New York, and I can finally feel comfortable saying I live in LA.
Hell yeah.
Wow. What a transition.
Yeah, and this is Mohammed El-Sheikhi, and honestly, this week, I don't know what to say. Just kidding. It's the queen. Where is she? Is she alive or is she dead? We will never know. By the time this episode comes out, that can change. So don't hold it against me.
You're basically our personal countdown king.
I am.
Right now at this point.
You know, like how people like have like a countdown clock for like Christmas? Right. I have it for the queen. Yeah.
That's exactly it. And my name is Oha Lopez. And this week, I was extremely confused about a book I was reading, thinking that it was a book about lesbianism when in fact it was not. And about maybe 25% of the way in, I was like, this is about straight people. And I put it down because I don't have the time and the energy anymore. Somebody misguided me about this book and I thought it was going to be gay and it was a straight book. And so I don't know. I only have a certain amount of hours in the day. So if it's not gay, I'm done.
Well, I want to ask you what the book is, and it would be so funny if your answer was like, it's War and Peace.
Yeah, yeah, the Bible. It was the Bible. Somebody gave it to me. They're like, this is so homosexual. And I was like, I don't see it. I don't feel it. I don't see it. I'm putting it down. The investment is too much. This week, we are so excited to have Suchin Pak. She is a journalist, a former MTV correspondent, and also the co-host of another Lemonada Media podcast, Ad Descartes. And so I am so excited to have her on. Today, we are going to get into it. We're going to talk about brands that need to apologize. We talk about MTV Cribs. We talk about all sorts of fun things about bad brands. Welcome, Suchin. We are so excited to have you. Suchin is coming to us from another Lemonada podcast called Add to Cart, which I love, and I love your guests. And I am also obsessed with products, probably because of, you know, wanting to be happy in finding things in the exterior to be happy with in lieu of having it come from the warmth inside.
Yeah, but it could also come from the depths of a cold inside as well. You know what I mean? Like all the holes can be filled by purchasing things. And in that moment, there is nirvana. And I promise you that.
Can I just fangirl for like one moment?
Take three moments.
No, because like you are like my Barbara Walters. Like I feel like if my mom was here and getting to interview Barbara Walters.
I'm not sure.
Cause like, I mean, I don't know why they won't bring back MTV Daily News, but that was my news like solely. Like I got all my news from MTV Daily News, and maybe that's why I am the way I am, but I
it is. It is. I wanted to talk to you about that today. No, it's scary. It's true. It's flattering, but it's also scary. Yeah. I mean, that's how we all got our news, was from MTV. And now kids are like, what's MTV?
Yeah,
that's insane.
Well, you're back on MTV because like they did bring back Cribs. So you're narrating that again, which is so dope because like that is like the best show. Now, I'm assuming you don't get to actually go through the actual houses. You get to see them and narrate them through.
I never got to see the houses the first time around. You know what I mean? So no, we're not invited on those shoots. But yeah, like there's the reboot of Cribs and there's more coming, I hear. I'm the last slot they fill. You know what I mean? Like everything is done and they're like, right, we should get someone to voice this. And so, but I think that there's a few more seasons. I think that the reboot did really well. You know, it's this time of wanting comfort foods and comfort music and comfort media. So I think that there's a nostalgic quality to looking into a famous rapper's fridge that brings a little, you know, a little solace, you know, to the heart, you know?
I mean, Redman's house will be forever. Like it will live rent free in my head forever. If there was one house, like if anybody's house you could pick in the world, whose house would you want to stroll through?
I mean, you know, Mariah Carey put it on the map, you know, they did it. And then I feel like they did like a whole spinoff on just her again. Yeah. For some reason, I'm remembering another entire show just on her after the short thing. So something like that. I don't know. I mean, any house, like who isn't on these stupid, is it just me that's on YouTube on these Architectural Digest?
Oh my God, it's not just
home
you.
Tours.
Like, have I been thinking about Kim Kardashian's sink for 5 years? The one that has the weird little divot with the slot and the water goes down?
Yeah, and her walk-in glass fridge.
I cannot.
Her drinks fridge. What about just recently, you guys, have you seen Gwyneth Paltrow's home on AD?
No.
Yeah. No.
Okay. Okay,
it's insane.
Blah, blah, blah. It's insane. Wait till you get to her spa. It's like a hammam in a French royal hotel. It's bizarre.
Wow.
It's magnificent and it's truly chilling to the bone. You know what I mean? It's just
one person can have something like this.
And all I can think about is like her steaming her vagina and their vagina candles everywhere. But that's just what I would envision in there.
I feel like her vagina candles smell good.
That is so funny. And you know, when I see stuff like that, I'm constantly like, I'm both horrified and profoundly jealous, but also holding it back, you know, like would never like, oh, I just want a small bungalow in a, you know, like I don't need all of that, but swear you give me money and I would fucking have that bathroom in a freaking second. But right now I have to moderate my dreams and my desires and live in reality. But I know that you just ended a month of no shopping at all, which is the opposite exactly, I think, to Gwyneth's bathroom. So how did you do it? How is it going? Are you weeping a little bit?
I'm weeping. I'm weeping because you guys, for those of you who are listening and not watching, because that's what we do, I have a handkerchief, organic, because I have sunblock running down my eyelids. Yeah. I've already put on my face. So there we go. That's part of it. But you know, November and December were dark.
Yeah.
You know, I had to get through the holidays. We had to get through another year of this. And I did a lot of that, the shopping online. Mm. My problem is I don't buy anything. You see, Kulop, my co-host, she buys everything. What happens to me is the opposite is that I will research something for months, for weeks, trying to find the perfect, trying to find the deal, trying to find the whatever. And so, but never clicking because it'll, you know what I mean? There's always that one moment where I think I'm like, oh, I could have bought this instead, or I could have used this coupon. And so I have open carts all across the internets, from here to Dubai to, you know, Shanghai and beyond. So it just clutters my mind. I realized that, yes, I was buying things, but it was just the act of how much time I was wasting looking for the perfect thing and the perfect deal.
Yeah.
That I was like, I can't do this. Like I it was like just eating too much junk food and watching seasons of, you know, the Kardashians again. So I decided on January I would have a no buy January, and February, you know, I really did think that about third week of January, I said, I'm changed. You know, I'm anew.
Yeah. Wow. Know?
That feeling.
What sort of things were you not allowed to buy? Was it just like clothes and furniture, or just anything?
Only essentials? Only okay. Essentials. Well, these are the rules I made up. I said only essentials, and unless it was something I couldn't get in a store, like off of the computer, like that was like a big thing. I needed to be off my phone and my computer because I was spending so much time going down these rabbit holes. So, you know, I made it almost, I almost made it 2 days shy of February. And then it's just been like a cavernous hole of like shit ever since. And I'm just scrabbling, free falling to the bottom of an endless pit. So that's kind of where I am. Pretty okay. Good.
That sounds so sweet and light and fluffy and
magnificent and chilling.
Magnificent and chilling. What was tempting you the most when you were like throughout the month? Like, is there something where you were like, damn, I really would have loved to gotten this?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I really missed all of the end of year, beginning of the year sales. You know what I'm talking about? Like, one of the first things, because I didn't have a strategy going in, and I realized quickly, Cool Up was like, if you do not have some strategies going in, you're going to fail. And I knew immediately the number one strategy was all of the newsletters that I have signed up for. And every day I open my inbox and I'm like, oh, look at this. Derm store is having a 70% off sale. Oh, you know, my favorite furniture store is having a clearance. And so then I'll just be like, well, I'm just going to peek. I'm just going to peek. Just see what's peeking. And you know, more than likely I've got carts already open on these sites. So, you know, just seeing if some of the stuff I have in my cart for the past 18 months has been on sale. So that kind of stuff. And I mean, it's anything. It's all the home stuff, the clothing. Where are we going? What am I wearing? Sling back heels to? Where am I slinging back to?
Oh, I totally get that. The pandemic was hard for me in terms of like, I know that I don't have to shop. So the excuse of shopping is gone. But the underlying problem of loving to shop is absolutely there. And I worked for an e-commerce company for a while, and specifically we worked for kind of like front-end websites. And the amount of study, the amount of clicks that they're looking at, the details with which they are looking at what you're doing on a day-to-day basis would confound you and would scare you. I mean, when I tell you... Like that they have this thing. Well, I'm sure have you guys ever heard of like a conversion rate?
Yes.
Right. So it's that exact moment when you decide, oh, I'm gonna buy this.
Yeah.
And that exact moment, oh my God. You know, and Amazon, of course, is the sort of like the beacon of all. They're all talking about it like it's Lord and Jesus Almighty. But they really have got us. They have these people know us. Ooh.
Now I heard on TikTok, and I mean, you put things in your cart and leave them. Like I heard on TikTok, that's like the worst thing you could do for a retailer. And I only heard that because during the Trump era, I was told to keep going to a store and putting a bunch of shirts in there and not buying them and leaving the site.
Because you're putting their merchandise on hold?
Is that what happens?
Don't feel bad about it. One second. It will be on hold until I am damn ready to never buy it.
I'm like, if that's the worst thing that happens to a retailer, I don't know. I figured Oha, since you were e-commerce, you might know the worst thing to do to retailers, but
no, keeping things in
It's not.
It's not really that big of a deal. I mean, you're just eating up your cookies. You're doing it to yourself. You're showing up to the same website 3 months later and the same thing is still in your cart. Like, that's how that they've got those things, you know, done. What really is, I think, the painful thing for them is they look at numbers. They're looking at you individually, but the truth is they've got so many variables on just a single item. They're looking at how the item is selling in your town, how it's selling everywhere else. Is their warehousing system promoting things that are in your area and that are easier and cheaper to ship to you? Like, it's like genuinely.
You're not even thinking.
No, you're not even thinking. You're,
no,
yeah, that's
no.
Insane.
I don't even want to know what my profile looks like. They're just like crazy cat lady who drinks a lot and watches way too much TV. I don't know. Just
winner.
Yeah.
Winner.
Winner. Yeah.
Winner
oh,
profile.
She's single? Oh, surprise.
Throughout the early childhood years, there are opportunities for every child's potential to blossom, for curiosity to spark, and for a lifelong love of learning to begin. Welcome to Lilio. We develop innovative tools that revolutionize the connection between daycare centers and families and help empower educators, enabling them to nurture young minds and build strong bonds. Through our solutions for center management, family engagement, and teaching and learning, plus professional development through Lilio Academy, where educators can earn continuing education credits at their own pace, we've impacted countless educators, children, and families. We stand as a symbol of quality and commitment to early childhood education, with the belief that early childhood educators have the power to change children's lives and ultimately the world. Join us in nurturing the future. Welcome to Lilio, the building blocks for high-quality childcare. Learn more at www.lilio.com.
Hi, I'm June Diane Raphael.
And I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And each week we are sitting down to talk all about life's twists, turns, and absurdities on The Deep Dive.
From exploring the depths of TikTok, which is our only news source, to navigating the complexities of grief and loss, we are just two best friends behind a mic processing life together.
This podcast is all about finding the silver linings in the madness. So get ready for unfiltered conversations about motherhood, careers, pop culture, and everything in between.
Here at The Deep Dive, we're all about community. We believe in the power of sharing experiences and the strength that comes from supporting one another. And we would love to have you with us.
So be sure to join us every Wednesday on The Deep Dive from Lemonada Media, wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, we're going to be talking about brands that need to apologize, because it's a this is a crossover episode. So it was like, this is the perfect thing to talk about.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who wants to go first? Suchin, do you want to start off with yours first? I'd love to hear it.
Sure. I mean, I had a little bit of trouble trying to think of a brand. This is, I think, a brand. And I don't know if I cheated a little. But during the pandemic, we have become card game fanatics in this family. I have two kids. They are ages 7 and 9. And I live with my husband, and the four of us have been holed up in here. And, you know, after letting them watch, you know, 7 weeks of TV and video games and YouTube, I was like, let's try parenting, okay? Let's get on this parenting thing. I feel like this isn't working for me. So we started to really get into it. We've done everything. We've gone through the puzzles. We've gone through the search and finds. You know, I don't know if you guys know it. Remember that? The highlight search and finds. But that was like a really big thing for a while. Mm-hmm. And then the board games. But the card games have always been a consistent thing. And my kids' favorite card game is Old Maid.
Okay.
Do you remember this game?
Yeah. I don't really remember how to play, but I remember I did play it.
Well, let me remind you, Kiki, because this is very, very, very important to the conversation. So I hadn't remembered how to play this game either, you know? And we got the deck, you know, just the most common deck on Amazon, got it delivered. And the point of the game is you have to match all the pairs. And the person left with the old maid card is the loser. Okay. And the old maid, the picture is what you think of it. It's an older lady. She's in a high-collared dress and a rocking chair with a cat in her lap. She looks sad. You know, she looks sad to be an old maid. And when you get that card, you're like, oh, I gotta get rid of this card. It's like it's a burning nuclear, you know, time bomb on your hands. And you're like, how do I get rid of this card? And that's the game. Isn't that fun, guys? And isn't that a lesson you want to teach your kids? Like, that's how you lose the game. You lose the game with old maid. What? Why are we playing this game?
So many things are adding up now because, like, I read.
She's in the Matrix. Kiki is in the Matrix, you guys. She took the red pill.
I was reading some, like, article today. I think, like, Adam Carolla made some statement about, like, you know, AOC and saying how if she was 60s and fat, nobody would listen to her. And it's like, wait, what? Huh?
Oh, like, are we saw Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla. What closet did they?
Exactly. Did like, they, who? Exactly.
What? Yeah.
But he must have played a lot of old maid. Mm-hmm. Like, in his head, go throw it away. Once it's 60s and fat, you don't need it anymore, right? I mean, you're right. Oh, my God. We need to revamp old maid. Maybe not call it old maid.
Yeah. Well, my husband, we're not going to get into my husband because it's not about him. It's about my time to shine. But my husband, he has a whole business about, you know, funny things. Let's just say my husband is a purveyor of humor. And we did go down the route. We actually started the Kickstarter video and we were all, my daughter actually, so she's seven now, she's probably, you know, six, was like, but why is the old maid bad? Like, she was, mm-hmm. and I was like, you're right. The old maid isn't, but she, you know, she didn't understand sort of like, obviously it's the social context of it, but she couldn't understand like why they had picked this person as the villain. She seemed like a very nice lady. Like, why is this person the worst thing to get in this card game? And so we had thought, oh, why don't we do a card game called Old Fart where the, you know what I mean? It's the old guy that's just farting away in the corner, you know, and that would be a twist on it. But whatever the twist is, you know, it just can't be the old maid anymore in 2022. Yeah. I think the old maid, by the way, is probably living her best life, you know, with money saved, online shopping, you know what I mean?
Currently starring on in Just Like That, and they don't look the same.
Exactly.
They're different now.
We love a golden girl. Like, we love the golden girls, you know, and like, yeah, give it to the old maid. I want to be a golden girl.
Yes. Hopefully she's living out on a commune, you know, like with five of her best gals in a communal pool. And they all just like,
that's right,
you know, hang out day. Honestly, old maid is maybe my fantasy. Is that what we've arrived to?
That's what I'm saying. It's my future and I'm looking forward to it.
I think it's a new generation. I think the old maid is the fantasy. You're right. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, totally agreed. I think maybe we should start an email blitz to old maid.
Let's do that.
Who's it made by? Do we know? I wonder if is it like a major company or is it just the...
I don't know. I'm sure it is. I'm sure. I don't know. Even know. Let's see. Who owns old maid card game? Of course, it was invented by a man in the 1930s. Yes.
They famously like to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
But what happened with the Kickstarter?
Oh, this is the good part.
Okay.
Is that we started to go down the road, but on Kickstarter, there is there's a young person who started another version of Old Maid that obviously is not Old Maid. I forget what it was. It wasn't humorous. It was something else. I think that they were more tackling. The other thing with Old Maid is that, so like, let me go step back. So I think Old Maid is like a game, but I think a lot of companies do their version of Old Maid. So the version of Old Maid right now that's very popular is their jobs. So it'll be like a pair of firemen, a pair of policemen, you know, and the jobs are very gender, you know, very gender specific. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like the teachers are the women and the firemen are the men. And so I think that they had come up with a game where the roles had been reversed, or there was so. But anyway, there's another old maid version on Kickstarter by this wonderful family. And we just thought, okay, great. That seems like that is going to be covered.
They're already doing the hard work.
They're already doing it. They're doing the work.
Hard work.
So we should be pushing that. Okay. That card game on Kickstarter.
Okay, I love it.
I love that. I love
what
that.
About you, Mo? What's your brand that needs to apologize and why?
Well, I have multiple, but I'll go with one personal.
Okay.
I don't think it's a known brand. But so this weekend, I got an email, and the email, the subject line was Mohanad El Sheikhi, which is, you know, my name, and they wrote it correctly. So I was like, this is something serious. And then X, and then it said Lasso. And I was like, obviously, you know, my delusional mind, I immediately was just like, does that have to do with the show Ted Lasso? Yeah,
that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Have my prayers been finally answered? I was just like, multiple people from the show follow me, including the, Coach Beard. And I fucking just love soccer. Like, and I tweet about the show all the time. I'm like, finally, it's happening. Do they want me to be on the show? Am I going to write for the show? What's happening here? And then it turns out it's a company that makes socks called Lasso. And they were offering me $150 in socks to make a TikTok. And, you know, I have always wondered what my breaking point was going to be. And it was that email. I was just like, this is my Joker moment. I'm going to go out in New York City and I'm just going to start, like, I don't know, just punching people around. I am going to lose it. I'm going to find stairs. I'm just going to run across the stairs and just yell or something. Like, why would you do that to me? Like, the emotional journey that they've taken
Heartbreak.
Me on. Also, like, I don't need $150 in socks. Maybe I do have a lot of socks. Why are you making me buy from your brand? Maybe I just want $150. Also, what's the TikTok video that I have never posted on TikTok? So they were like, this guy is going to start his TikTok career by posting about socks.
I think you missed a career opportunity here.
I really think so. You could have become socks guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know what $150 in socks looks like, because I know what like $150 in Target socks looks like. That's a lot of socks. But what if it was just like only four pairs of socks?
Yeah. So I looked it up on the website, and the cheapest pair is $35.
Oh my God.
So it is. It's four pairs.
Four pairs of socks. I'm back off of the opportunity. Yeah. That's just plain offensive.
Yeah.
Four pairs of socks. They want you to start your TikTok career. Wow. Wow. I hope you don't take that personally, Mo.
I did not reply. I just posted about it, like, on social media, like people do. And I was just like, this is, if you're reading this, please, you truly just ruined my whole weekend.
Well, as someone who loves TikTok, let me tell you what the TikTok I would have made you do if I had been in New York and I would have made you get the socks. I would have made you go to bodegas and purchase things with those socks and try to explain to them, this is a $35 pair of socks.
Amazing.
Please, I need the bacon, egg, and cheese. I need the...
No, you don't understand. Yep. This is the Rolex of socks.
This is, yeah.
Exactly.
I'm trying to exchange this for your bodega sandwich.
And I would see what you could get in New York for these
socks. A video of me just wearing the socks, walking around, just yelling, I'm walking here. And these socks, which are very comfortable, by the way.
Gwyneth would have gotten them. Gwyneth would have gotten those socks.
True.
Like, I'll pay you $100 for those socks.
Some people wipe their, you know, butt with $100 bills when they're rich. You walk around a Brooklyn apartment with $35 socks, just socks, straight on the floor.
The richest man in Brooklyn. Yeah, that's me.
Well, they definitely owe you an apology. But,
yeah. Oh, 100%.
Lasso,
yeah.
If you're looking for somebody, I too have feet.
And she's got a great TikTok idea. So I think this is a match, you guys.
Do you ever get hit with a cringy memory of your 13-year-old self out of nowhere and suddenly you're panic sweating and laughing at the same time? Don't worry. We all get that. It's because being an adolescent is one of the most visceral shared experiences we have as people. And we want to talk about it. Join me, Penn Badgley, and my two friends, Nava and Sophie, on Podcrushed as we interview celebrity guests about the joys and horrors of being a teenager and how those moments made them who they are today. New episodes of Podcrushed are out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. After season one aired, I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few, and of course, my 90-year-old mom, Judy. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me Season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
What about you, Kiki? What's your brand? I'm so curious.
So I was trying to decide between two, but I felt like I had to go with Torrid.
That's mine too, or at least one of mine. So okay, I mean, very on with you. Yes.
Okay. First, let me just start with Torrid is a plus size brand. And it was, you know, growing up, like really there were no plus size brands. And like Lane Bryant came around and they were just, it was not, I don't even know if you call it business casual. It is not, it's for old maids.
It's for old maids.
No, but it was just like not cool clothes. And there was a moment where they had like seven jeans come in, which at the time, seven jeans were like the biggest jeans. And like, they started like, oh, they're finally changing. That didn't last long. So I felt like Torrid was like the first brand that was like plus size. And they were really trying to design cool shit for big girls. And I was like excited about it. So like every year, my family, you know, normally throws in like a gift card for like Torrid. This year they did the same. So this was like just from a personal beef. Like I was trying to use the gift card online. It wasn't accepting. And I was like trying to call customer service and like nobody would help me. I was literally like DMing them on Instagram. Nobody would respond to me. And like literally I was just like, I just want some fucking leggings. Can I just like, and I don't want to go to a store because I also refuse to go to it. I want to shop online. This is the whole point.
Yeah.
And it was like just really like the worst customer service experience. And I had already started feeling kind of some like a type of way. Like I felt like their customer service had gone down and like their clothing had also just like, I remember like I got a pair of shoes one time and I opened the box. It smelled like gasoline. And I was like,
wait, is this LuLaRoe? I've seen this documentary and it doesn't go well.
It doesn't.
It does not go well.
It was starting to feel like we were, because for a time I felt like anytime I'd wear something from Torrid, people would compliment me on it. And I still have pieces that I, you know, can wear and they have lasted, but it started turning really quickly into fast fashion, which so many plus size, they really just do a lot of fast fashion, which is why I like Eloquii, because it feels like they do more pieces that, you know, feel like they last longer. Anyways, so that was like my personal beef. Well, then, you know, there is a TikToker, goes by the name The Other Hannah, and she would do these hauls from plus size places, and she would really like get on Torrid a lot because their brand, like the quality of their clothes were just like going down, and just like their designs, it just wasn't flattering. It was like, look, like we want to wear stuff that our skinny friends are wearing that is just as cute. Can you please just design like, if it takes more fabric, fine, I will pay. Like, just give me what I want. I just want it to be cute. So she would, you know, do these TikToks about them. And I guess at some point TikTok was just like not really liking it because they started turning off comments and all of these things. And then, can't be confirmed, but suddenly someone like called Hannah's or wrote to Hannah's job and was trying to get her fired from her actual job. What? Now, we don't know who did this and we can never confirm this, but it felt very like interesting and coincidental that this was happening at the same time. It was like, did Torrid just dox a TikToker because they didn't like, you know, what she was saying online, you know? And so they didn't ever admit to that, and it was never confirmed, but they did come out with, like, you know, sort of an apology letter at some point, just saying, you know, social media is a space where all voices can be heard. As a brand that champions community, we've always believed there's a chance to learn and grow. And they did this whole letter from the CEO, Liz Muniz, which, you know, Hannah has pointed out, like, Liz is sort of like the person responsible for where the brand has gone. It's really changed. And so I take issue, because I remember in one of my ranting emails that I wrote to them that they still never replied to was like, look, like, there are very few choices for me out there.
Yeah.
And it really hurts for me to have to let one go, because that's like letting go, like, 25-30% of my wardrobe to say, I'm not going to buy from you. And I want you to succeed, because another point Hannah was making was, I want Torrid to succeed because they ended up on the stock market. They went public. Mm-hmm. And like them succeeding, if they don't succeed, other plus size brands might also just end up failing, which is just fail. You know, like, we won't have clothes, right? Like, people are like, oh, not a good investment there, which is not the reality. So I just want Torrid to turn it around, because I do want them to succeed. I want their clothes to go back to, like, what I remember. And I don't know how you feel, Oha.
Oh, God. I mean, as the coolest fat person walking into a suburban mall to go to Torrid, like, it was painful. It was like, I was so happy and, like, overcome with the joy and excitement of, like, seeing that stupid little flaming heart logo, because it was like, oh my God, this is a space where I'm going to find things that fit me. And as somebody who is profoundly loves fashion, is obsessed with, you know, fashion shows with specific designers, and I don't really care about the label. It's like the art of fashion is something that I, like, genuinely love and think about. It's really hard when you don't find options that you can express yourself with. And, you know, there is a lot of TikToks right there. It's like fat girls where, like, you're basically dressed as, like, young mid-level professionals all throughout middle school, because it was like dress barn. So, like, blazers and, like, high, you know, like, high-waisted thick denim and, like, button-ups. You literally, like, that's what they had to offer. So Torrid, I don't love it anymore, because it's very sort of, like, topic-y, and there's, like, some kind of, like, emo punk elements that maybe are not necessarily in my roster anymore. But that feeling of finally finding, like, a little corner in a mall that you fit in was beautiful. And so I do have a soft spot for Torrid in my heart. And, you know, the dressing room isn't this dreaded adventure that you usually go into. But, you know, for me, the switch into really low quality clothing that was very expensive. And I'm telling you, a dress at Torrid will run you on a regular day $50 to $75. And so
That's like on a good day, I feel like. I feel like 95 is like the starting point.
Okay. So that's kind of what we're talking about. This is an expensive line. And when I tell you that these shoes fall apart. I mean, I said I will never ever purchase a shoe from this place before. And I'm a size 12 foot. So again, before this, like, onslaught of online shopping, and when that became so accessible and you had to go in person, there was really no place for me to go. And so another thing is, they have these, because you said a lot of it is the quality has gone down, the prices have gone up, but they have these really insane kind of, like, predatory lending credit cards. Well, they market them kind of like a college credit card in some ways. So there's this piece of it where I think it's called Comenity Bank. But I mean, I remember I got a credit card with Torrid and then spent maybe 2 years trying to pay off $600 when I was 26 or something like that. Because no matter how much I put in, the interest would accrue so insanely high. And it wasn't until I became, like, an adult with a real job that I was like, let me go ahead and just pay this entire fucking credit card off. But yeah, I'm so glad that there's more options, and that I truly, in the past, like, 2 to 3 years, feel like your girl can go buy a cool plaid floor-length jacket, you know, for the first time in my life, which I'm wearing right now. This is my favorite jacket.
Love it.
And I definitely feel more seen. And so now I can truly tell Torrid to just go ahead and go fuck itself. because before that, I was like, oh, God, I got an interview in 2 hours and there's no place and my stockings are torn. I have to go to Torrid. There's no other option for me.
It's still like the most accessible because there's so many options. And that's why it's like I still want them to succeed for like the high schoolers out there, you know, the seventh graders out there who it's like they go to the mall and that's the only store that's going to have plus size. So it's like, just come on. We don't need any more, you know, weird spaghetti strap off the shoulder tops that have peplum bottoms. Like, I just, or come like on.
Paisley caftans that end just below the ankle. Like, literally, it's like... I feel like going to Torrid being like, I am sexually viable. I am sexually viable. And I promise you.
People do still want to sleep with me. Amazing. Believe it or not. Yes.
Yeah, it's truly the market for plus size clothing out there is.
I mean, I think that another email with this with the subject line, I am sexually viable. has to come out because I feel like that is, you can't turn that down. You go to LinkedIn, you go to the marketing, the CMO, and the subject line is, I am sexually viable.
Oh, you know? That's a good idea. Yeah. I'm going to stop sending it to the info app. Yeah. Let's go to the LinkedIn. Yeah. Find the CMO. Much better idea. Well, do we have any honorable mentions, other brands? Suchin, do you have any other brands we just want to mention?
Oh, my goodness.
You should apologize.
Yeah. I mean, this one, I think, is an obvious one. It wasn't an obvious one to me, though. Brandy Melville. Speaking of fashion brands, Mo, are you familiar with Brandy Melville?
I am not. No.
No. And neither was I. I only became aware of them because I have teenage nieces that always want gift cards at this Brandy Melville. And I hadn't been in one. And one year, I finally went into one. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is what they wear. You know, kind of, it's like a 90s grunge throwback. You know, they'll have like overalls and sweatshirts, you know, that have like college names on them. I don't know, you know, that kind of thing. And I was looking at the sizes and you guys, they only have one size. Some of them literally say one size. Ugh. And if they do have a size, it will never be bigger than a medium. And I just thought that was such an odd thing. And I thought, is it because I'm at the Grove in LA? Like, I'm like, or maybe they've sold out of the larger sizes, you know? And the smalls and the mediums are not even big, you know? Like, maybe their version of a medium is, you know, a Gap's version of an extra large. Mm-hmm. So as I was thinking about this show, I was like, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, I was like, oh, yeah, Brandy Melville. That was a really weird experience. And of course, I Googled it and I had no idea. Let me give you one headline from the many headlines. Oh, this one's from Daily Mail. Skinny and white or fired. Fashion firm Brandy Melville is rife with racism, sexism, and sizism as its claimed CEO shared Hitler memes and would get rid of black or overweight staff. Okay. So not only is there sizism, okay, we have sexism.
Wow.
We have racism.
Wow.
And then we've got Hitler memes. It was just you know what I mean? I thought I was going in pretty standard apology. You know, like we're talking like, hey, let's put more sizes on. And every fashion brand should be apologizing. You know what I mean? That's a pretty standard. But the Hitler memes really took a left turn. And you can go into it.
I've heard a lot. I had not heard about the Hitler memes. How is this brand even still thriving?
I know, thriving. Because I just bought them a gift card this past Christmas. Not, you know, just did my annual go ahead and Brandy Melville it. And then this all came up. And I mean, there's just so much proof. These folks, there's surveillance, you know, it looks like camera shots. There's social media sharings and all of this talking about this strange fascination that the owner and senior staff at Brandy Melville have with Hitler. I mean, there's just no way around it. I can't soften it. Jesus. I'm like, with not terrifying, but like, yeah, specifically Hitler. And it is terrifying. And employees have been complaining for years that, you know, if you're overweight or not, of the weight that the store is, or if you're not blonde, even like, even brunette white girls are having trouble, like, getting to the front of house.
Yes. Aryan, yeah, thin women.
Yes.
Jesus.
And so I just think it's unusual that this isn't more common. And number two, that my nieces, who are very, you know what I mean, very woke, you know, like, they, yeah, march and they're still wearing this, because I just don't think, you know, obviously they know. So they will be getting a very, very, you know, kind but firm email from Auntie Sue, just letting them know that Brandy Melville is now off of our list, and these are the, okay, reasons why.
I no more gift cards. Yeah, absolutely.
No more gift cards at Brandy Melville.
No more gift cards. Sorry.
Well, thank you so much, Suchin. This was so much fun. We'll have to do another round of this someday and talk more about products that we hate and love, because this was a blast. But thank you so much for being on, and I can't wait to keep listening to Add to Cart.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel supported here in both my shopping and my no shopping. And now I have a few more places to add to my list of what I will be buying from in February. So the service is greatly appreciated.
Okay, and now we go to my favorite segment of every week, Sorry Not Sorry, where we either demand an apology from someone or we apologize. So I'm going to start with Oha. What's been happening this week?
Well, just to keep it on a roll, I would like to demand an apology again this week. I'm feeling really sort of like invigorated and entitled, let's call it that.
Okay.
And I would like to ask for an apology, which, let's say it's myself, really, but from my hair. I've been having a perpetual bad hair week. And as a person who's extremely accustomed to it being pretty amazing all the time, the cold has caused my hair to dry so much that I have what I'm just calling kind of like a unidread at the bottom back of my head. And I've been having to put it in braids and do all sorts of like crazy things to just like keep it from breaking off. And this is the first time that's ever happened to me. And I just demand an apology from the cold and from my own hair, not for really what they're doing, but for changing the plan on me. If you have an idea of how things are going for a very long period of time, and then all of a sudden, like, the dynamic changes on you, I wasn't prepared for this.
But you've been in Chicago a while, right? Like, did you change something up with your hair products?
No. Everything is the same. I don't know what's going on. But I'll go on a pursuit and figure it out, because this is not right. And I imagine this is kind of what aging feels like too, which is like all of a sudden your body is sort of like double crossing you and doing strange, yeah, things to you. And I think this may just be one of those things where it's, yeah, like, here you go.
Definitely aging could be one. You're going to have to probably treat it like the way, like an elimination in diet when someone is allergic to something.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
you're going to have to start with maybe like your pillows and like what you're washing your pillows in. And
oh my
start,
God,
you know, it could be so many things.
It could be too many things. And also, mind you, I know that I'm saying this in the middle of like a war in the most horrific circumstances human beings have ever seen just across the world, and the world is falling apart. But this is just the last drop. This is it.
Wow. I mean, hey, I can't relate because I'm very young, but
right. Nubile, even.
One day I'll understand, I'm sure.
I can't freaking wait.
Yeah. Kiki, what's happening with you this week?
You know, this week I actually want to apologize on behalf of someone. You know, since the pandemic started, I have not been inside a Target once because they started curbside pickup. And they've made it very easy for you to go on the app and pick the things you need, drive up to a parking space, and someone will bring it out. Well, I was reading an article this week that they are going, because, you know, now Target, you know, they partnered with Starbucks sometime back, so they usually have Starbucks inside of Target. So they want to offer now, starting in select locations, your curbside pickup. You can now add Starbucks drinks to your pickup. And I just want to apologize to all of the Target workers, because let me tell you, first of all, I know most of them are short-staffed. You know, like, I still use the app, and I don't mind waiting a little extra because the people that are behind the counter are still the ones that they're having run out to, you know, put your stuff in your trunk.
Yeah.
And now they basically have become, like, involuntary bar runners, baristas on top of it. I feel so bad for them. I mean, they're going to have this piping hot coffee with all sorts. I mean, not that they have to put the order in, but they're going to have these like crazy combinations. I can imagine people complaining, like, I didn't get my half calf mocha minty whatever.
Frappa Java chippy.
To this person who's like putting, you know, toilet paper in their trunk. I don't know. They're doing a test run. I just feel so bad for them.
Wow.
And I'm going to try my best not to use the option if it comes into
my- Yeah, well.
I'm really going to try not to order.
The Starbucks in the Target next to me has been just not working for so long. I was like, I didn't know that a Starbucks can be broken. But it is.
It's just a whole it thing.
It is broken.
And your Starbucks is basically the McDonald's ice cream machine.
Exactly. Yeah, they're like, hey, you can go behind the counter and make your own coffee if you want to. Truly, no one gives a fuck. Just go. Well, this week, I do demand an apology from the people behind the show Euphoria.
Okay.
I'm sorry. What the fuck is this? What's happening? You made me watch 10 weeks of this, and then this is the finale. Also, spoiler alert, I'm going to talk a bit about the finale. So if you haven't watched it yet, you know, just listen, I guess, and you don't need to watch it. Like, I don't even understand, like, how the script came together. Like, I feel like literally someone just spilled, like, a liquid on, like, a keyboard. And it just, that's what came up. And then they were like, okay, we'll do that.
Well, there's so many unanswered questions. I mean, the most impactful episode I thought this season was Rue, when she was completely like fiending for drugs, like running around that whole episode. And we know that this suitcase that she was supposed to be selling the drugs and she instead did them all, she now owes all this money to this huge drug dealer. And like, what's the answer? Like, is the drug dealer going to come after her?
They just did not answer any of these questions. And also, Rue was just like, yeah, I gave up drugs and now I'm fine. Apparently, it's so easy to just stop doing drugs, according to Euphoria. Yeah, they're just like, yeah, you're just like, you're addicted. And then you're like, you know what? I'm going to stop. And then you feel fine. So, hey, you live and you learn. Anyway, it's bad.
The funniest part I will say about this episode, too, is I had completely forgotten about Vape Girl was part of the friend circle until she showed up when Cassie was getting the beat down by Maddie. Yeah. And I was like, where have you been this whole time?
They didn't have budget for her. So they just were like, we're going to give you one more scene, but in between, you're just going to be vaping somewhere. Sorry about that.
I hope stage manager Bobby, though, is like a regular because she was amazing.
I agree. Yeah. Anyway, if you're listening, please. I don't know what's the next step here. I just hated it.
I'm Sorry is a Lemonada Media original. The show is produced by Alex McCohen. Supervising producer is Chrissy Pease. Our executive producers are Stephanie Whittles-Wax and Jessica Cordova Kramer. Our mix is by Kat Yor, and theme music was composed by Xander Singh. If you like this show, please rate and review. And please don't cancel us. You can find out more about our show at Lemonada Media on all social platforms or follow us on Instagram at @I'mSorry_podcast. We'll be back next week. And until then, be nice, play fair, and always say I'm sorry. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm feminist Erin Gibson.
And I'm homosensual Brian Safi.
And we're the co-hosts of the Attitudes Podcast,
where we talk about LGBT plus issues, gender issues, and pop culture.
Probably with much less respect than they deserve.
Look, it's a wild world, and we want to help you laugh at it. Plus, we discuss everything going on in our lives.
Like, what do you do when your husband accidentally starts a fire in a dumpster?
And the best armpit slapping techniques to get rid of the bags under your eyes. Thanks for the advice, Mom.
And of course, how to spin a wig around to achieve a brand new look.
Stunning. So if you're a fan of high heel shoe chairs or have a crippling fear of hot air balloons, but also believe in social justice, then this show's for you.
Listen to Attitudes anywhere you get your podcasts.
Hello, hello, hello. I am Jose Andres. Maybe you know me from my restaurants or maybe from Wall Central Kitchen, the organization I founded to feed people after disasters. Well, it's time for you to know my podcast, Longer Tables. Each episode, I get to know fascinating people in the most intimate way, through food. Stacey Abrams, Jojo Ma, Jane Goodall, Padma Lakshmi. I will answer questions from listeners too. Join me in building longer tables, not higher walls, whatever you get your podcasts.